Well, good morning and welcome to St. Luke's. Today is the second Sunday after Pentecost. Would you please stand as we sing our opening hymn together? Be still for the presence of the Lord.
With you.
Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners. Let us pray. O God, you have assured the human family of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Deliver us up from the death of sin and raise us to new life in him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the letter to the Romans. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, "it was reckoned to him," were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. For the word of the Lord, thanks be to God.
Please stand as we sing our next hymn, "Let There Be Love Shared Among Us." From the Gospel of Matthew. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call the righteous, but sinners. While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." They laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Some of you did the Advent study course in the parish back last December, and you may remember it was called The Life in the Comma. And it was written by John Bell from the Iona community, and it's premised on the observation that in our creeds, we place a lot of emphasis on Jesus' incarnation and on his death, resurrection, and ascension. And the creed, where the Apostles' Creed, jumps straight from born of a Virgin Mary to suffered under Pontius Pilate. The great seasons of the church, Christmas and Easter, celebrate these momentous events. And most of our theology centers around these actions of Jesus as bringing to fruition God's great plan to reconcile the world. And then when we turn to the letters of Paul in the New Testament, there too there's an emphasis on Jesus' death and resurrection. It's in the passage that we heard from Romans today. It's those actions of Jesus that bring about our salvation. But there is more to the story of Jesus. There's more in that comma between the Virgin Mary and Pontius Pilate. There was a life of ministry, a three-year period in which Jesus called disciples, taught the people, healed the sick, prayed for people, forgave people. And there is much to be learnt from reading these accounts that the gospel writers have curated for us. And this is what we're now invited to do, now that Easter season and Pentecost and Trinity Sundays are over. The liturgical colour in the church is green, and it will stay that way apart from the occasional Saints' Day until the end of November. While white was the colour of celebration of Christmas and Easter, purple the colour of penitence in Advent and Lent, and red the colour for the fire of the Spirit and the blood of martyrs, green is the colour of living. In these green Sundays, we are called to consider how we live here on earth as part of the kingdom of God, and how we can learn from Jesus' example as this year we read through Matthew's Gospel. So our portion of Matthew's Gospel today from Matthew chapter 9 has four stories, or two stories linked together. We have a calling of Matthew the tax collector, and then a strange dinner party at his house. And then we have a restoration to life of a dead girl intertwined with the healing of a long-suffering woman. And the theme that links all these together is that Jesus is inclusive in his welcome, and he has an enduring mercy to those in need. And they show how Jesus interacts with people. He calls them, he sits with them, he touches them. And herein is a model for how we should follow in Jesus' steps. So first we have a calling. Jesus calls Matthew, the tax collector, and says, "Follow me," in verse 9. Matthew would have been those who most people would not want to pass the time of day with. Tax collectors were despised, socially despised, and hated by most people. They were corrupt. They were complicit in the imperial Roman system. They maintained the Roman system and its unfair status quo. And beyond that, tax collectors would collect more than the Romans demanded and pocket the difference. We might read that terse statement at the end of verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. And reflect on, well, why? What was it about Jesus that provoked such a response in Matthew? But I think the most important message from that verse, the most important takeaway, is that Jesus considered Matthew a social outcast, as someone worthy of being part of the kingdom of God. It is a reminder that, in the words of a Marty Hagen film, him, "All are welcome in this place." That's why we have a welcome mat here. But then Jesus goes even further. He confirms his action of calling Matthew by inviting to dinner not only tax collectors, but sinners, or as the religious leaders of the day put it, people with dubious moral values, again, outcasts from nice society. And Jesus sits with these people and he eats with these people. And that would have had a very great symbolic value in the day. Even today, if you eat with someone and sit with someone, that is showing an affinity with them, an acceptance of them. But it was even more so in Palestine in the days in the first century. To sit with tax collectors and sinners gave a clear message that they were accepted. And then Jesus goes on, when the challenged by the Pharisees, well, why are you sitting with these people? He replies, well, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Jesus is saying that, yes, he welcomes all, but he goes out of his way, particularly for those who are in need of acceptance into the kingdom of God because they're not being accepted by anybody else. What note to who else is sitting at that table? It's not just the tax collectors and the sinners. The disciples are sitting there too. Jesus is saying that they too were in need of being accepted by Jesus. They too were needing the mercy and the grace that Jesus was freely giving. And he cements this with his next words, a quote from Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Rather than the quality or quantity of their religious observances, what makes a person right with God is God's mercy and grace. If that wasn't enough, the Pharisees really would have been tearing their hair about what was this rabbi up to, is he then touches or is touched by people who are unclean, who are outcasts. At first, there was a woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. No religious leader of the day would have allowed her to touch them because they would have then been made unclean. But Jesus does, and he brings about healing. Jesus' comment to the woman bears a little consideration. He says, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. The healing occurred solely by the mercy of Jesus, who saw the woman's plight. But her faith played a part as well. She believed that Jesus' touch could heal, and so she sought him out. A response from her enabled her to accept God's grace in much the same way that Matthew's response enabled him to accept God's grace, God's forgiveness, and let him to be a member of Jesus' disciples. Jesus' mercy brought about in this woman not just physical healing, but a restoration to society who had regarded her as an outcast. The word made well incorporates an awful lot in this passage, an awful lot of what Jesus is doing. Then our final story, we have the synagogue leader. He also believed that Jesus could raise his dead daughter, and he brought and asked for his help. He had faith in order to start the movement. It was Jesus, yes, who restored the girl to life, but the faith of the father was important. And again, Jesus' mercy brought about another restoration and the promise of a whole life ahead. And this mercy also extended to her father, who would be forever changed by what had happened. So these four stories tell from Jesus' life of ministry, tells a lot about how he worked. And indeed about how God still works. There was a calling to 180 degree about turn in vocation and examples of restoration to new hope. Various kinds of people were shown mercy by Jesus, a despised sinner, an unclean woman, a dead child, and a respectable religious leader. They were all sick or sinners in different ways, healed by Jesus. And each story involves simple faith and action that resulted in new possibilities for life, wholeness, and purpose. Because of Jesus, everything changed for them. May it be so for us as well. Amen. Please stand and join with me as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe.
inscribed our minds with him. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the world and for the Church.
The bit before we say hear our prayer will be, Lord, bring us your Spirit to work through us to advance your kingdom, and in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, you have assured the human family of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, bring us your Spirit to work through us to advance your kingdom, and in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the world. Particularly today, we pray for those who are battling the diphtheria outbreak in remote indigenous communities, the Ebola outbreak in Africa, and for those seeking peace in Ukraine and the Strait of Hormuz. We pray that world leaders may seek ways to promote peace and justice for the whole of humanity. Lord, bring us your Spirit to work through us to advance your kingdom, and in your mercy. We pray for our Anglican community today, working around the world to bring the good news. Today we pray for the Scottish Episcopal Church, the Diocese of Brisbane, for Jeremy Graves, Assistant Bishops Cameron Venerables, John Roundhill, Sarah Plowman, the clergy and its people. We pray for the parish of Kenmore Brookfield, for Deb Bird, Colin Nicholson, Sandra Kilgren, Jane Mitchell, Graham Dorman, George Shaw, Josie Yarman, for St. Francis College, for students Paul Alcorn, Naomi Armstrong, Stephen Bartlett, Alison Bray, Julia Binner, Troy Wilcock, Elise Christian, Keith Gibson, Fionn Greig, Hilda Lamani, Kevin Lapthorne, Rachel Dew, and Simon Tingler. For Hillbrook Anglican School, for its principal, Mark Seach, Chaplain David Adams, Chair of the School Council, David Marshland, members of the School Council and their staff and students. Lord, bring us your Spirit to work through us to advance your kingdom, and in your mercy. We pray for those brave individuals who walk in the footsteps of the disciples, bringing your word to every corner of the earth. And today we pray for our missionary partners, Danny Middlethorpe, Scripture Union chaplain at Willis Hill State School. Lord, bring us your Spirit to work through us to advance your kingdom, and in your mercy. We pray closer to home for our local schools and colleges trying to bring the good news to our younger minds. And today we pray for our local schools, Willis Hill Primary, Junction Park Primary, and Maruka Primary. Lord, bring us your Spirit to work through us to advance your kingdom, and in your mercy. And again, close to home, we pray to those around us in our immediate church community, working to bring people together. And we pray particularly today for St. Luke's Theatre Society and the work they do, putting on shows and bringing the community together. Lord, bring us your Spirit to work through us to advance your kingdom, and in your mercy. Lord, we pray today for those around us who are going through hard times, who are sick, frail, and emotionally stressed. I'd like to put out a particular prayer for one of our older, someone who's been with us a long time in our congregation, Tim Bozzello, who's having a particularly bad week. We also pray for Ryan, Sharon, Reverend Shane, David, Sharon, Peter, Lauren, Rita, Don, Margaret, Peter F., Maxine and Robin McElnay, Glenn and Rose, Von McNeil, Ian Basham, Scott, and Barbara Ooting. Lord, bring us your spirit to work through us to advance your kingdom, and in your mercy, hear our prayer. Only, Lord, we pray for those who have gone on, who have kept the faith, finished the race, and now in the community of the saints. We pray particularly for from our Book of Remembrance for Dulcie, Lavinia Carr, Dulcie May Graham, Louisa Simpson, Francis Roderick Cameron, Trevor Bertram Johnson, Ronald William Catlow, Florence Ball, and Alice Helena Claris. Lord, bring us your spirit to work through us to advance your kingdom, and in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy, welcoming sinners and inviting them to the Lord's table. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith with a sincere and a true heart. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand? We are the body of Christ.
His Spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also
with you. Peace be with you. Seven on Zoom? Yeah. Peace be with you at home. Well, as we remain standing, we sing our next hymn, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation. For your goodness we have these gifts to share, accepting these our offerings for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Loving God, we thank you for this world of wonder and delight. You give it to us to care for, so all your creatures may enjoy its bounty. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that when we turned away from you, you sent Jesus to live and work as one of us and bring us back to you. He showed us how to love you and set us free to love and serve one another. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that on the cross Jesus took away our sin, all that keeps us from each other and from you. He frees us from hate and fear, from all that destroys love and trust. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. And so with everyone who believes in you, with all the saints and angels, we rejoice and praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And now we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine. May we who receive them, as Jesus said, share his body and his blood. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He shared the cup with them and said, This is my blood poured out so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me. You've gathered us together to feed on Christ and remember all he has done for us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Fill us with your spirit that we may follow Jesus in all we do and say, working for justice and bringing your peace to this world that you have made. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessing and honour and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, let us take this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ in remembrance that he died for us and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Living God, in this holy meal, you fill us with new hope. May the power of your love, which we have known in word and sacrament, continue your saving work among us. Give us courage for our pilgrimage and bring us to the joys you promise. Most loving God, you send us into the world you love. Give us grace to go thankfully and with courage in the power of your Spirit. Well, so please will you stand as we sing our missional hymn, Lord of the Dance. God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.